Who, I have a confession to make, and I wonder if you do too. Who's a little bit sometimes afraid of praying aloud? Maybe we should have raised our hands to show the kids, or maybe not. Maybe you don't need to know that we're sometimes afraid of praying. I remember growing up, and especially when I got into adolescence, when I was a teenager, and even a young adult, and somebody would ask for, you know, somebody to pray, I never volunteered. And then later, when I became a camp counselor at a Presbyterian camp, I was forced to pray. And it made me so nervous. And even now, sometimes when I'm put on the spot and I'm not ready, I haven't thought about what I'm supposed to pray for, and have to pray out loud, I still get nervous. I think praying out loud, is something that can make us really, really nervous. But I want to remind you that in this service, we've already prayed 9 times. I know you might not have counted. I count singing as praying because I think we pray twice when we sing. And so we do it. We pray. Whether or not you can admit it or not, we know how to pray, even if it feels a little anxiety-provoking to pray out loud. And so I think today is a great topic because it's something that can give us anxiety, but it's something that is important for the Christian life. Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. And every Sunday, before youth group and after young adult group, I always ask a volunteer to pray for our food before we eat. And it's always interesting. It's always fun to see who volunteers. Because at first, when it was just youth group, we didn't have young adult group with us, there would be crickets sometimes. And I always told the kids, you can even pray, God is great. It's okay. We don't have to have these fancy prayers to pray. But it's fun because now we have all of these children. And so inevitably what happens, you get to go first in line for food when you pray. And so inevitably what happens is that when I ask for somebody to pray, a little kid's hand pops up. And then they look around and they think, I don't know what to pray. And so I say, you can say God is great. And so we say a lot of God is great, God is good. Because prayer doesn't have to be perfect. And we don't have to have the words right. And we don't have to know all the time what we're going to say. We can stumble and flounder through prayer. So let's hear the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray and what Jesus says about prayer. From Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and street corners, so they might be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. You can join together if you want for this part. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the Christian faith, there are things that we believe, and there are things that we do. Prayer is one of the things that we do. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. So Jesus gives us some advice. To begin and end, there are some warnings. Jesus contrasts genuine prayer with hypocritical prayer. Hypocritical prayer is all about flattering ourselves and flattering God. Hypocritical prayer makes us look good before others, but it isn't real. Our prayers aren't heartfelt. They're more about making ourselves look good or our words sound good or getting it just right rather than our relationship with God. I think often we get caught up in this. We think that we have to be perfect, that our prayers have to be just right, and so we won't even volunteer because it's too anxiety-provoking. But Jesus contradicts what he says with what he does, because he says that we're supposed to go and pray in corners, and obviously we don't go and pray in corners here at the church. I don't think we have enough corners for all of us. The very prayer that Jesus prays and teaches us begins with our Father. The Lord's Prayer seems to be a prayer meant to be prayed with others. Jesus' warning is less about public prayer and more, I think, about the intention of prayer. Why do we pray? To look good? To manipulate? To get it just right? Prayer has power. It can give you earthly rewards, high regards, and esteem. Man, you're a good prayer. But heartfelt, genuine prayer will reward you more fully. It will give you a deeper relationship with God. All these admonitions could make us paranoid about praying. We probably already are paranoid about praying. But all I think that Jesus is saying is that when you pray, you can be honest, bold, and real with God. God knows what you need. You don't have to have a PhD to pray. You don't have to be a pastor to pray. Like Romans 8 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs deep, too deep for words." Even when we mess up, the Spirit is there, ready to take the reins. And for those of us who are unsure exactly how to pray as we ought, Jesus gives us an example, the Lord's Prayer. All of us can pray. You don't have to say flowery words. God is great, God is good, counts. It is enough. So does Jesus loves me. And of course, the Lord's Prayer. As a child, I knew that the Lord's Prayer was the end of that really, really long prayer, the prayers of the people, which to me felt like the longest prayer ever as a child. The Lord's Prayer was a relief. This prayer, that prayer let me know that the service was almost over. And I liked praying the Lord's Prayer. It was a way I could participate in the larger worship at the church. Yet as I aged, some days it felt like I was just praying the words without understanding and appreciating their meaning. The Lord's Prayer is Jewish. Its themes, its wording, all comes from the Jewish tradition, which makes sense because Jesus was Jewish. Daily bread reminds us of the Old Testament, of daily manna. God provided the Israelites in the wilderness. Manna that was crucial to their survival. Manna they couldn't hoard or it would go bad. A gift they were given each day, just enough. Debt should remind us of the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee challenged faithful people not to hoard debts over people, to erase inequality, to let someone have a new beginning. In a world that was so riddled by debts and loans, to ask God to forgive our financial, spiritual, and relational debts is powerful. This prayer is Jewish, but it's also rooted in the life, death, and ministry of Jesus. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer tells us of Jesus' life. Our Father is also Jesus' Father. Hallowed be your name. We remember Mary's rejoicing at the news of her pregnancy, hallowing God's name, of Christ's birth, and how people came near and far to praise God and to pay the child homage. Thy kingdom come. In Christ's birth, God did come to earth. God came to show us his will on earth as it was in heaven. Christ came to announce God's kingdom, to tell us what the kingdom of heaven was like. Christ leaned on God's will. He did God's will here on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Christ gave daily bread. He used 5 loaves to feed thousands. And he gave bread on the last night to his disciples in the upper room. Forgive us our debts. Christ forgave debts. He forgave our debts, the sin we committed against each other and against him. And so we respond, and we are challenged to respond in forgiveness. He challenges Zacchaeus to forgive people's debts and to return the money he had taken. He overthrows the money changers' tables, overturning the current economic systems. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Christ entered the ultimate time of trial, death on a cross. And although Christ died on that cross, he was rescued from the evil one. He conquered evil and death, and he rescues us from the evil one. He delivers us from evil. Read in this way, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer we pray to become more and more like Jesus, to remember his life, death, and resurrection. But the Lord's Prayer doesn't just help us to remember. It challenges us, too, to pray that God's will be done and not ours, to give up control in a society that values control, power, and prestige. That's hard. To work for God's kingdom here on earth and not our own kingdoms. That's hard. To trust God's daily bread even when we have overflowing pantries. That's hard. To forgive those who have hurt us. That's hard. To live as Christ lives. We fall short time and time again because we are human and it is hard. But that's why we pray this prayer, because it is hard and we cannot do it alone. We need God and we need each other. We pray because God is God and we are not. Our will is not perfect, but God's is. We need God's will to be done here on earth because left to our own devices, the world is a mess. Division, hatred, violence, and death would win. We need God's kingdom to come because our earthly kingdoms fall short. We need God's daily bread, nourishment, life, and promise to remind us that God's gifts keep us alive and not our daily toll. And forgiveness, we need forgiveness so desperately. Tom Long says, forgiveness is like breathing. It's life-giving and it's constant. We need to forgive as often as we breathe. And we need it in order to live life fully. Just as we breathe in God's mercies, we breathe out God's mercies to others. It's as hard and as easy as breathing. This prayer is the prayer I pray, the Lord's Prayer, when no other words will suffice. When I'm at the end of my rope, tired and overwhelmed, I often turn to these words. And when I visit people, often in the hospital or at homes, more times than not, I close with the Lord's Prayer. And every time I do, it takes my breath away. To hear another person's voice praying with me lifts me up. To hear someone who has long forgotten who I am, but who has not forgotten the Lord's Prayer, that's powerful. It's a prayer that unites Christians over every time and place. To imagine a priesthood of believers from all times and places praying the same prayer we are uttering today fills me with wonder and awe. I'm often unsure of my own words and my own prayers, but not when it comes to the Lord's Prayer. Yet I'm reminded that it's not just about us when we pray, any prayer, especially the Lord's Prayer. We have to listen for God to respond. And sometimes we have to do something too. Often the Lord's Prayer is the signal that our praying is over. As a child, I was like, whew, thank goodness. But it should be a signal too to continue to pray, to listen for God's response back. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. So listen this day as we pray the Lord's Prayer, as you pray any prayer. See what God is saying back to you, what words and phrases, what images and experiences come up. If we pray for peace, we must look for peace. We must work for peace, what God is saying back to us. If we pray for God's kingdom to come, then we've got to look for God's kingdom. When the world feels darker, I need more than ever to pray, "Thy kingdom come," and to look and to work for the kingdom. But not alone. I need to pray with you, with a whole chorus of others. I need to hear young and old voices, voices from all places and times praying with me. Because when we pray, we resist, we change, and we grow. That, my friends, is hope, a sign of the kingdom to come, to daily pray for change within ourselves and in this world. Amen.